In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, today, for this first week of the Passion, the Church turns all of her attention more explicitly toward the betrayal of Jesus, toward his sufferings and death. It's meant to help us to prepare well to enter deeply into the mystery of what Jesus accomplished for us during his Passion, death, and resurrection. Regardless how the season of Lent has gone until now, whether it's been a good and fruitful time, or whether it has been a series of missed opportunities, now is the time the Church wants to help us to focus, to get serious, to change our priorities, to make sure we are not just bystanders of the sacred mysteries we are preparing to mark, but active participants, zealous recipients. St. Paul, as usual, makes clear what our response has to be. Jesus, by his Passion, has cleansed our conscience from sin, from dead works, precisely so that we might use our freedom to worship the living God. And so, as we approach Holy Week and examine our life in the light of how precious that life must be, that Jesus would die to save it, we need to examine whether worship of the living God is really the center of our life, or just optional, just part of it. We witness in the Gospel some of what Jesus needed to endure in order to redeem us. We hear Jesus' contentious dialogue with many of the scribes, Pharisees, chief priests, and others in the temple. This scene we just read took place immediately after Jesus saved the life of the woman caught in adultery, whose life the Jews were using as a prop to try to entrap Jesus. So we imagine easily the conversation only grew in intensity after that showdown, in which those who made themselves Jesus' enemies were challenging him, were accusing him of the nastiest things, while Jesus was responding by calling out their hypocrisy, that they were claiming to be faithfully worshiping God, while they really didn't know who he was, and to be sons, good sons of Abraham, while instead of doing deeds of faith like Abraham, they were plotting to kill Jesus. They were not children of Abraham. Jesus insisted, but of the devils, because they were willingly, though unwittingly, carrying out the devil's plan. As obedient sons of the father of lies, they were stubbornly opposing the truth Jesus was witnessing and incarnating. Jesus asks, "Can any of you charge me with sin?" Dear faithful, we can hear the pause as Jesus looked around to see if anyone had ever seen him sin. The people at whom he was peering almost certainly included many of those who had to drop stones minutes earlier when Jesus said in the context of their wanting to kill the woman caught in adultery, let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Nobody, obviously, could say that Jesus had sinned. So Jesus continued, if I am telling the truth, why you do not believe me? Again, we can imagine a long pause so that Jesus could allow his words to sink. When no one preferred an answer to tell them the reason, whoever belongs to God hears the words of God. Underlining, for this reason, you do not listen because you do not belong to God. His opponents answered by accusing him of being a devil and being possessed. Jesus replied that he was not possessed, but in everything was honoring the Father who seeks his Son's glory, and that God himself, not them, not Pontius Pilate, not Herod, will judge. As we draw closer to the reviving of Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, the church this morning wants us pondering these thoughts and making choices. Choices about how we are going to spend these next 2 weeks. Choices about whether we are going to put God first and come to each of the events of Holy Week, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter. Choices about whether we are going to receive the atoning fruits of his passion in confession. Choices about whether we are going to persevere in and up our prayer, fasting, and giving, or whether we are going to allow our commitments to vanish. Choices about whether we will be satisfied with being part-time in our spiritual life or making our whole life an act of divine worship. For these two next weeks, the church wants us to meditate on the passion of Jesus. We might be troubled when we are thinking of Jesus' passion. Our trouble when we read the passion story is the same one that we feel when we ask the question about evil, about the presence of evil in the world. Does God master events, the events of the world, or is he subjected to them? If he masters them, then he's a tyrant. If he is subjected to them, then he no longer is God. But is Jesus in his passion master over it or subject to it? The betrayal of Jesus by Judas seems to start everything, although it's only an event. The 30 denarii is an object. The price of the treason does not start anything, since Jesus knows everything and does not do anything to stop the traitor. He let him go. Jesus knows he could get out of it, but he does not do it. He surrenders himself. But we must understand it in the right way. Jesus surrenders himself, but he does it freely. He came on earth to live his passion. Instead of merely undergoing it, he consents, he agrees, he offers up, and so he redeems. Although Jesus is not going to provoke his passion, he just masters it. He masters it because he is a king. He does not say that he is a king in the royal triumph of Palm Sunday, but when he is accused, when he is already bloody in front of Pilate. His kingship is not from this world, meaning that is not draw its origin from this world. That's why it will save the world. But he will exercise this kingship over the world. So Jesus is king because he's God and Redeemer. Jesus' passion is a victory. Jesus is a lamb sacrificed to God for the sins of the people. He accepts to be the victim. But he is also the addressee and the priest. The value of his passion is our salvation. That's why he agreed. It is less about suffering than about the divine love Jesus puts in this suffering that burns away original sin and all our individual sins. Jesus is victorious and masters everything. He triumphs over everything. And the only crown he accepts is the crown of thorns. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.